We like guarantees in our life. We go into the bank. We want to see that little sign, FDIC, Federal Deposit. When I was in securities, I would tell people, now these bonds or these notes or these bills are guaranteed by the full faith and credit of the one guy told me, he says, that's scary. And I had to agree with him. So we like guarantees. Years ago, we had bought a surge protector and we plugged up different equipment to it. Well, before long, lightning struck and it burned out all these things. So I got to reading all my information and I had to get different electronic people to certify that they was burned up. I sent all this stuff in. I get a little letter from the surge protector company. This surge protector is for surge protecting. Lightning is an act of God. Therefore, we do not cover it. So I says, wonderful. And we're not here to talk about that type of guarantee. We want to talk about guarantees we find in the Bible. The word guarantee is not mentioned in the Bible. As of a certain is mentioned several times. Jesus would say, of a certain. That's a guarantee. Let's think about, as we do so many times, let's think about some guarantees that, okay? What about time? In James 4 and 14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanished away. Not long ago, one of our speakers had a hand grenade for a prop. I'm a little more delicate than that. I got water. If y'all can see, there's a light burning there. And there is a vapor. It just don't last very long. We can spend a lot of minutes on right here in degrees. Do you ever waste time? I guess we all do. Do you always want, you know, my wife will ask me about something. I said, I don't have time. I don't have time to do that. I think time is kind of a figment of our mind. Lots of times we just think we're too busy to do things. In John 9 and 4, I must work the works of him while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. I catch myself as being older in a hurry. I guess I can see the end of my time. I'm trying to get things done before I can't do anything. And there's things that I can't do that I used to. I used to like to build fence. And now I need someone to bend over and pick the post up for me. I can't do that. What about this? What about our health? Is that guaranteed? 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Just like our light here, some of us light is brighter. Some of our lights are dimmer. Health is not guaranteed. Let me give you a good example. About 51 years ago, my wife married a young man that was thin, had blonde curly hair. He didn't have hearing aids. He didn't wear glasses. He had all of his teeth. He could stand up straight. That's what health does to you. With age, your health fades away. Health is not guaranteed. It will never be guaranteed. What about happiness? We all want happiness. In Genesis 3 and 17, And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I have commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Every one of us has bad days. Every one of us have things that don't go our way. There's sadness in our days. And this came because sin came into the world. But don't get me wrong, we can have degrees of happiness. Maybe it's kind of like this. 1 Timothy 6 and 8, and having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. You know, I think about our brothers and sisters that are in India, that are in Nigeria. They're happy if they get a Bible. They live in a hut. They eat roots or nuts that they find in the forest. And yet, I'm not happy if the electricity goes off. I mean, I'm hot, refrigerator don't work, the air conditioner don't work. So maybe happiness is in degrees also. What about our family? Is that guaranteed? Job 1 and 18. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. As I look out here in the audience, I see probably most have been affected by this. They've lost a family member, one way or the other. So the family is not guaranteed. And that's kind of hard. That makes us sad. But that's part of the guarantees of life. What about the breath of life? In Genesis 2 and 7, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Just as this candle burns, I look out and I see people, their heart is pumping blood, their lungs are pumping oxygen, their nerves are sensing, their ears are working, their eyes are seeing to some degree. So I guess that's a guarantee. If we were born, then we have the breath of life in us. God can do that. What else is guaranteed? You know, years ago, the guy told me, I'll tell you what's guaranteed, death and taxes. That was his saying. Well, he is partly right. Hebrews 9 and 27, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. There's two things guaranteed in this verse, death and taxes. It's going to happen. Death and taxes. Well, maybe there's one other option. In 1 Corinthians 15 and 51, behold, I show you a mystery. Ye shall not all sleep, but ye shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. It's guaranteed we're going to die. It's guaranteed we're going to change, be changed into a glorious body. That's guaranteed. You know, if you walk through the cemetery and you'll see, oh my, this young person was pretty young. And then you may see others that, whoa, they was 100 years old. People are going to die. That's a guarantee. There's no way to get past that unless you're here when Christ comes again. And then you'll go through the change equivalent to the death. So therefore, your light goes out. Let's talk about the judgment that we see mentioned in that verse. Jesus is telling us here about the judgment. In Matthew 25 and 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all his holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from his goats. I don't know nothing about goats and sheep. But I do know we have a chute set up, and when we're running cows through it, we got a gate that swings one way or the other. So we can put them on this pen or that pen. We separate them. What about you, you ladies? If you have a flower bed or a garden, you go through there. If there's unwanted weeds, you pull them up. You sort them out. You don't want them there. That's an example we have in judgment. 34th verse. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Those that have done good have a kingdom waiting for them. This has been part of God's plan ever since the creation of the world. For verse 41, then he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So this is guaranteed. There's two places that's going to happen, heaven and hell. That's guaranteed. And we'll end up in one of them, just to make it simple. What about this? In Job 14 and 14, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will await till my change come. If we die, do we live again? The answer is yes. In John 11 and 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And you say, how is this possible? How can you be dead and live again? You know, Jesus took dirt and breathed into it, and he made a man. Jesus went to Lazarus' grave. He is dead and stinking, and he said, Lazarus, come forth. He got up and walked. Jesus, when he was crucified, the skies turned dark, and the graves were open, and dead people got up and walked at his crucifixion. He's done it before. He'll do it again. He can do it. He has the power. We will be resurrected. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so ever shall we be with the Lord. What a sight. This is guaranteed. This is a guaranteed to be with the Lord forever in the clouds. Seems like science fiction, but this is a guarantee. What about this? Eternity. I do not know how to explain eternity. I just don't know how to do that. You know, I could stand up here and say forever and ever and ever and ever and ever till tomorrow. That wouldn't be it. What about this? When I say 1492, what do you think of? Well, some of you that have better memory than mine, you're going to say, well, Columbus discovered America. That was 526 years ago. 526 years is a long time, right? 526 years is that compared to eternity. An instant. Just an instant. We cannot really fathom what eternity is, because we cannot comprehend that. But this is guaranteed. We have an eternity in one of two places. Revelation 21 and 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and they will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. You know, this is a place that we can spend forever and ever and ever where there's no pain, no tears, no sorrow, no crying, no death. I want to go there. I've never been in a place like that. In 2 Thessalonians 1 and 7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Now, this is just the opposite of where there's no pain, no sorrow, no crying, no death. This is just the opposite. Everlasting destruction, and you're not with God. You're away from him. What is the difference? Well, here is the difference. Two things. Them that know not God and those that do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I ask you today, have you done this? If you have not, you know where your eternity is. That's all I can say. Salvation from your sins is a conditional guarantee, but it's guaranteed. If you do what the Lord tells you to, you will be saved from your sins. It's that simple. And I think most of you know this, Luke 11:28. But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Hear and keep the word of God. That's not complicated, is it? Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? It's that simple. Luke 13:3 and 13:5, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. What that means is you was living for yourself, doing what you wanted to, doing things of the world, and you stop doing it. You start following Jesus, doing what he wants you to do. Matthew 10:32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. You want Jesus to confess you when you're at the judgment. I promise. You want that. Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. I don't know how much more plain it can be. Be baptized, be saved. Do not be baptized, be damned. And you've seen people come forward. We ask them, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? They say, I do. You go back in the room, you change clothes, you come down into the water, and someone says, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and Son of the Holy Ghost for the remission of sins. Sins are washed away, they come up out of the water, a new creature. Now, let me ask you this. If you've obeyed some type of salvation other than this, we need to do it again. If you wasn't baptized in the name of the Father and Son of the Holy Ghost for remission of sin, let's do it again. It's too great a price to pay if we don't do it right. Let's do it again. There's too much at stake. We don't want to go through eternity in the wrong place. Revelation 2:10, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you in prison, that you may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. If there's a hard part to being a Christian, this is it. Be thou faithful unto death. The devil don't give up on you. He's going to come back after you from time to time. He knows your weak spot, and that's where he's going to hit you. We see in James 5 that we're to confess our faults one for another and pray one for another, and those will be forgiven. So we have an advocate with the Lord through Jesus Christ all the days we live our Christian life. That way we can still reach that home in heaven. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he said, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. You know, we read in the obituaries that so-and-so died. They are surrounded by their family, and that's the way they passed. We want Jesus right there by your side when you die. He will make it easier. We need Jesus in our life.